morning and welcome to Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Andy Morrison, and each week we focus on a topic that is important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored this morning by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. And happy to have in the studio this morning, Mr. Scott Sell. Scott is the Director of Strategic Development. Good morning, Scott. Good
morning, Andy. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Tell me what that title really means.
Sure. Director of Strategic Development means anything that relates to the growth and development for Davis Community Hospital. So anything that we can do to help grow our patient volume for the hospital falls underneath my realm now.
That's a pretty wide, that's wide open.
It's meant to be ambiguous because now we can help grow every service line in the hospital, which is really exciting.
Very good. Very good. Well, what we're here to talk about mostly today is March, even though we're just starting to wrap it up, was Athletic Training Awareness Month, or did I get that right?
Yeah, so March was National Athletic Training Month. So by trade, I'm an athletic trainer. I went to school to be an athletic trainer, and now I work mostly in development work for the hospital.
Well, that's an interesting topic. I know we talked last year. It was really the first time I was exposed to what an athletic trainer is, what they do, why they do what they do. And we're going to touch on that a little bit again this year just to kind of bring people back up to speed. But first, let's talk about athletic trainers in general. What are they? Who are they? And what do they do? And why do they need to do it?
Sure, right. So most often athletic trainers are associated with the people who run onto the field when an athlete gets hurt.
Okay.
That's the TV view of what an athletic trainer is. And then there's years of schooling that go into that run onto the field to assess that injured athlete, right? So most athletic trainers will have a master's degree. And then by 2022, all athletic trainers will have a master's degree. So that's a six-year degree for the athletic trainer. And as athletic trainers, we work through the lifespan of an injury, right? So we're running onto the field to assess that injury, what we call acute injury management, all the way through returning that athlete to a successful return to play back onto whatever surface they're playing on. So, and then we're doing everything in between, from injury diagnosis to the rehabilitation to the prophylactic taping and bracing, really trying to get that athlete back onto the playing surface as safe and as fast as possible.
Right. And I'm sure there's a happy medium in there between you can never trust what an athlete tells you. I'm fine. Put me back in, coach.
Yeah, and that's the fun part of we get to build a relationship with our patients on a day-to-day basis, which is unique to most healthcare providers, that I'm working day-to-day with my athletes, which are my patients. And other professions don't get to do that. If I'm a physical therapist, I may see my patient once or twice a week for 45 minutes. Well, I'm seeing my patients every day for an hour or two, and then I'm going to their practice to watch them participate in their skill that they've crafted, right? So then I have a relationship that goes so much more than the patient-clinician relationship, so I can better understand how they're responding to that injury and if they truly are telling me if they're injured or not, right? I can read between the lines a little bit more.
I'm sure at the point of injury, you know, the adrenaline's running and everything, and it may not feel as bad as it really is. So that's where your expertise comes in.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times that we'll be doing that sideline assessment and they're able to go back into the play. We put some tape on it or whatever. We assess them, say, yeah, you're good to go. And then 24 hours, 48 hours later, like, Scott, my leg is killing me. And so that adrenaline plays a huge part into it. But again, that's why we're there. Because what we don't want to do, Andy, is that athlete gets hurt. Mm-hmm. We're not there to assess it. And now we're leaving a non-medical personnel, a coach, a teammate, somebody like that, to make that decision. Can that athlete go back into play? And that's really scary.
So do you have some special dirt in your kit where you can rub some dirt on it and put them right back in?
No, but we do a pat on the back every once in a while, say, you're all right, kiddo. Suck it up. You're ready to go. No special potion.
Well, that's what they used to say, you know, rub some dirt on it and walk it off. You know, the old adages to get back in the game.
Yeah. We try to avoid that nowadays, especially with head injuries.
I'll bet you do. We're talking with Scott Sell today about athletic trainers and what they do and why they're important, as March is Athletic Training Awareness Month. And let's talk a little bit about what it takes to become an athletic trainer. You mentioned it a little bit. Master's degrees are becoming becoming the norm as of 2022. But what do you really need to know if someone is listening and they're thinking about a career? What would you tell that person? You know, if they're studying in high school or maybe just getting ready to start college, what do they need to know? What should they know?
Yeah, I mean, basic science education, right? You're going to lay a foundation in the sciences, anatomy, physiology, biology, chemistry, those things. But I would tell them that athletic training is a unique profession in the healthcare realm because, like I mentioned earlier, we're working with those patients from point of injury through return to play. And we're working not just in traditional sports settings, right? Professional sports, college, high school, wherever. We're working in the military. We're working with fire and police folks. We're working in the manufacturing settings because those folks in those non-traditional settings are still suffering the same types of injuries. So I would tell you that when you hear the word athletic trainer, it's a bit of a misnomer because we're not just training athletes, right? There's so much more that goes on behind that if you wanted to say, hey, Scott, I want to be an athletic trainer because I like working with that population of an active person, but I want to work in a clinic setting. Cool, you can do that. Or you're like, Scott, I'm passionate about giving back to my military friends. Mm-hmm. I want to work in the military. Cool, you can do that too. Or you could say, Scott, I want to go work for the Colts. Cool, you can do that too. It's just not pigeonholed now to traditional sports settings. That's still our bread and butter, and it's still super fun to go work a sideline and get paid to watch sports. But there's a lot that goes behind the scenes to be able to get paid to watch sports.
To get to that point.
Correct.
You got to pay some dues to get
Correct.
There.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that because honestly, we were talking earlier and I never really thought about the military and first mm-hmm. responders and even in the manufacturing sector. What would an athletic trainer, let's say, if I've got a business mm-hmm. and you know your typical you know kind of like Toyota or kind of like a you know an assembly line kind of thing. Sure. Why would I want an athletic trainer to be involved in my business?
Right. So we could come in from a prevention standpoint, right? One of the biggest things that we're trained in as an athletic trainer is preventing injuries from happening. So if say you're on a traditional line type work, assembly line type work, we could come in and do an ergonomic assessment, making sure that employee fits the line that they're working on. Maybe it's a 5'8" person working on a line that's 8 foot tall and they're having to stretch and bend awkwardly and things like that. Well, we can make some adjustments to better fit that worker to the line to prevent them from getting injured, right? There's some concrete evidence that says for every dollar invested in ergonomic assessments, there's a $3 cost savings. Mm. So now we're talking about real life cost savings for these manufacturers, for these assembly workers, not just from a health and well-being standpoint, which is obviously the most important thing for our patients,
right?
But then from a dollars and cents standpoint, that actually can increase the profitability of a company because now we're reducing that injury risk for those folks. And then as a reactive society, right, reactive medicine, if that person gets hurt, they can see the athletic trainer on site daily, just like our high school and college patients and athletes can, because now we can just run an athletic training room at that facility. They don't have to go outside for rehabilitation. We may be able to prevent some ER trips. And so now all of a sudden we're reducing mm-hmm. work comp claims, but getting those employees back to work faster, which again makes the company more profitable because we're reducing their time loss injuries.
Gotcha. See, those are things I would have never, again, with the name being athletic trainer, right. You think sports and right. You think sidelines and you think right. Something like that. But what about on the first responder yep. military, you know, police departments and fire departments mm-hmm. and National Guards and stuff? Where would an athletic trainer fit into somewhere like that?
Yeah, so same type of space that you would see in traditional college or professional sidelines is those individuals, those military folks, those fire and police folks are suffering the same types of musculoskeletal orthopedic type conditions. Well, I'm a musculoskeletal injury expert, and I can give them some exercises and different interventions to prevent injuries from happening, go through their warm-up and things like that. But then again, once they're injured, we're treating them like the athletes that they are, right? I would consider a military person a tactical athlete. Mm-hmm. They're doing tactics.
Yep. That's a great way to put
it. And they're an athlete, right? They're moving in boots and different unique things, and their movement patterns are very similar to that of a traditional athlete. And so now we can treat them the same way, the same common sports medicine concepts now apply to those individuals as well.
Very good. Well, that's neat stuff. I would have never thought about that aspect of it. So we're talking with Scott Sale this morning. He's the Director of Strategic Development at Davies Community Hospital. But today we're talking about athletic training as March kind of celebrated the athletic trainer, kind of brings attention to what they do and what they don't do. And maybe that's another good question. What does an athletic trainer not do?
Yeah, great question. We do not prescribe medicine.
Okay.
So we are able to dispense regular over-the-counter medicine, but that's documented and well-versed, and we're not dispensing that over-the-counter medicine to anybody under the age of 18. So for Davies Community Hospital, we have 4 high school partners. We don't dispense medicine at those high schools because those are under 18 years of old. Those patients are under 18 years of age. We also don't write orders for MRIs or x-rays. We leave that to our partners, the providers of the physician assistants, the medical doctors, those folks. We let them do that. Those are really 2 big things that we don't do. We do almost everything else in healthcare. So injury evaluation and management, managing a cervical spine injury. We do post-operative and pre-operative rehabilitation, post-injury rehabilitation, and then the prevention piece, right? We do the taping and the bracing, things like that, to try to prevent injuries from happening. So we play a large role in healthcare, and that's only growing. Some of the new athletic trainers graduating are learning how to suture, how to hang IVs, which, as we look in a rural setting, some of our partners are 40 minutes from the closest ER. So now if we're equipping athletic trainers with that skill set, that could really help that patient even survive an injury if it's a life or death situation. So now we're equipping our athletic trainers to really be at the front lines of injury management.
So it's really one of those situations, the more you know.
Right. The more you know, the more you're able to do. And
right.
And we're just continuing to enhance our skill set as a profession, which is really exciting, especially for rural Indiana where we're at. Because, again, we could be 40 minutes from the closest ER, and we need somebody to be able to triage that injury and manage that injury appropriately.
Right. How many athletic trainers are in our local area?
Sure. So we have 8 athletic trainers here that are employed through Davies Community Hospital. I'm going to name them by name so we can celebrate.
Oh, no net. Here we go.
All of our athletic trainers. So Kelsey Laporte is our head athletic trainer at North Davies High School. Misty Petro is our head athletic trainer at Washington High School. Haley Sinlinger is our head athletic trainer at Vincennes University. I and Brandon Johnson are the athletic trainers at Bar Reef High School. And then Austin Montgomery is our head athletic trainer at Pike Central High School. So we have a couple other athletic trainers who work clinically at the Core Center. Dave Graber works there. And then Lindsay Sell, my wife, ironically, is an athletic trainer physician assistant out at the Health Pavilion for DCH. So we're blessed to have a great group of athletic trainers. And I was looking the other day, and we happen to be the largest athletic training network in the 6 county area around us. So that's really exciting for us to be able to provide the most athletic trainers in the 6 county area. So we're blessed.
And you guys are kind of in the busy season as we have the all the basketball. We're getting ready to roll into baseball and softball. Had football before that. I mean, there really is no. Is there ever a season when you guys aren't doing something with somebody?
Yeah. So there is no off season for athletic trainers. There's always a team in season.
Or even practicing.
Yeah. Right. So that's the other point. There's practice going 6 days a week, 7 days a week sometimes at our junior college. So there's not a lot of downtime. We try to get some rest in June and July, but August to May is on the go, and we always have a team in season, so we're always in season.
What would you say to someone if they're thinking about athletic training and maybe they're also, very family oriented? It sounds like, like what you said, if 6 days a week, it's August through May.
Sure.
I mean, how do you wrap a family into all of that as well?
It's a balancing act, and it comes from a great support staff. My wife is a great, great supporter of what we're doing, and she gets it and she understands it. And it's fun to be able to bring your family into that stuff, right? So my daughter's been able to go to a couple basketball games this year and see daddy work and things like that. So
and also probably have good seats.
There are some perks that come with it as a family, and it's just fun to have your family as part of your work life, and we encourage that work life balance the best we can. We know as athletic trainers we sign up for non-traditional hours, right? So we didn't sign up to work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. We signed up to work in 40 degree wet, rainy weather and all the way to 95 degree weather in the spring. So we signed up for that, and that's kind of what we embrace that as a profession. But there's also opportunities to work traditional hours if you wanted to as an athletic trainer, where you're not having to do that now, which 30 years ago you probably didn't have that opportunity. So it's fun to see how the profession has progressed and changed.
So is this a part of medicine or part of you know, I don't know what the right word is, but do you see it on an uptick? Is there more people becoming interested in it? Is it growing? Where is it in that vein?
Yeah, so it's definitely a growing healthcare profession. We know within the next 10 years, there's going to be a 20% increase in the need for athletic trainers. So there's a huge opportunity for our youngsters to go into this field and become an athletic trainer. I think there's a lot of popularity in this field right now just because we're such a sports-minded community, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of we've had a lot of interns come through the core center, and they're going into sports medicine, athletic training, physical therapy.
Because they see what it is.
Correct. They get to see what it is, and then they were athletes themselves, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I got to be an athletic trainer. Was I was an athlete, and I wanted to find a way to stay involved in athletics. Well, what a perfect way. I still get to sit on the sideline. I still get to be part of the team. But now I'm helping those athletes be able to meet their dreams of staying healthy and competing for state championships, which is really fun.
When the pro teams don't call, you can still be a part of the team.
Correct, right? And that's the difference, right? So I was blessed to have the opportunity to work for the Colts for a couple of years. I did an internship with them. And that's the unique thing, is that the way that we treated an ACL injury or an injury with the Colts is the same way that all of my athletic trainers are treating the injuries here locally. It's the resources are different, right? So the Colts are going to have more basic resources and tools than we do, but the conceptually,
right,
the way we treat an ankle sprain with the Colts is the same way we treat an ankle sprain.
An ankle is an ankle is an ankle.
Correct. Absolutely.
Whether it's a $1 million ankle, right, or the high school guy.
That's right. And they're just as important, right? So just because you may be the starting quarterback for the Colts doesn't mean that I'm going to treat the 12th man out of high school any differently. The concepts are still the same, and an ankle is an ankle is an ankle.
Right, right. Very good. Well, neat stuff. Well, we're talking with Scott Sell, and Scott, we're just about to run out of time, so we'll start to wrap things up here a little bit. One more question I've got for you. If I'm not an athlete, if I'm not, you know, I don't have a line job, but I injure myself in some way, I step out of the car wrong and twist my ankle or tweak my knee or whatever, do I need to be referred to an athletic trainer? Where would I start if I had an injury like that?
So you could call the Core Center, 812-254-8889, and you could see one of our athletic trainers. Right, as athletic trainers, you hear the word athlete, and we've talked a lot about athletes or tactical athletes today, but we like to call ourselves a profession who treats the active society, right? So if you're a weekend warrior, you're playing pickup basketball, maybe you're training for a triathlon, absolutely you deserve and need to see an athletic trainer when you get injured, because we're going to be able to help get you back to what you want to do as quick as possible. So, yes, you step off a curb and you're an active person, absolutely you can see an athletic trainer. Whatever you're doing that's active, we can fill that space for and help you get back to what you're trying to do.
And then, of course, you may or may not know, but how does insurance look on something like that? Are they pretty receptive to that kind of thing, or do you have to, you know, you're not the insurance guy, I know, but I know you've dealt with it.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we're fortunate in Indiana, where our state practice act, so every healthcare profession has a practice act. And in ours, it says that athletic trainers can receive reimbursement from insurance companies for services provided in an outpatient setting. The only caveat to that is that we aren't able to see government insurance. So Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, stuff like that, we're not able to see.
Insurance.
But commercial insurance, any athletic trainer in the state of Indiana can see that insurance and then receive reimbursement. So just like you would see a physical therapist or occupational therapist, you can now see an athletic trainer through your insurance provider, which is really exciting. And so we offer those services at the Core Center as well.
So that shouldn't stop you from seeing somebody then.
Correct. And you know, and other states aren't as fortunate, but our neighboring states in Ohio and Wisconsin also are able to do that. So in the Midwest, we're really fortunate that athletic trainers can work at what we would consider the top of their scope, top of their skill set.
Right. Very good. Well, Scott, we have ran out of time. What do you want to leave people knowing about athletic training and athletic training month in March?
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't thank my staff for all the work that they do. Then also just to say that we appreciate the support from the community as we continue to grow our profession, grow the athletic training profession in and around Daviess County.
Well, very good. Scott, thank you very much for your time and coming in and letting us know about athletic training and what you guys do.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
You're very welcome. Focus on the Community has been sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of this morning's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, The General, 95.9 and 101.3 FM, as well as 1580 AM. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Andy Morrison, inviting you to tune in every weekend as we focus on the community.